You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. The podcast.
Hey. Jay doesn't want to hear it, but I agree with Key. That Nets team looks unstoppable. They look unguardable. Yes. They look so easy.
Don't put your reverse jinx on.
No, I don't.
I'm not reverse jinx. No, don't do that.
Yeah,
you're definitely nervous. Is what you are. You're nervous.
No,
about
he ain't
it.
Nervous. He's just trying to be that basketball savant.
Nah,
no, dude, I know what Jay
y'all doing. Y'all tripping. Y'all got short memory. I was the first one when that team got put together. I said this is three of the most prolific scorers I've ever seen on the same team together.
And we never got to see it.
It
didn't matter if you saw it or not.
Now we're seeing it. And you're right.
And now you're jumping on the train. All I'm saying
I'm
is
not jumping on a train. What I see is that. And then if the Lakers are what we're seeing they are, which is A, banged up, B, not very good without Anthony Davis.
Well,
they get smoked last night. They're down three games to two. If you remove the LeBron AD factor, if the Nets get to the finals, like I thought those two teams meet, okay, that'll get interesting. If you remove the Lakers, if they don't get past the Suns, tell me how.
Who is the team that will make
life difficult for the Nets?
I just want you to draw back all the hype that this thing is like all said and done, because in the middle of next week, if we have Milwaukee winning a couple games, you guys, what's wrong with Brooklyn?
I'm just marking down the favorites.
Sometime next week, somebody will be saying, what's going on in Brooklyn?
Not anybody on this show.
Okay.
Not anybody on this show. Think about it.
We already know they aren't a great defensive team. They outscore you.
Yes.
They do outscore you.
If I can go 140 to your 135, I'm up.
Exactly.
But they do play a lot of your go, my go.
Because they can.
That's fine when you're going against the damn Celtics. When they only have Jason Tatum.
I'm just trying to tell y'all, man. I believe you. You're the basketball expert. I'm just a guy. But I know what I see. And what I see, I love.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not saying I don't love it. I just don't think it's going to be as easy as people think it's going to be.
Here's why I like it, Jay. It's because when they go, you go, I go, you go, I go, it's different than those other places. This is more, to me, almost like a Golden State, you go, I go. Steph go, Clay go.
But that wasn't
Clay
how Golden
go.
State played, though.
I understand that, but all them dudes got their shots up, and Clay was the defensive guy, but see, he still got his shots.
The reason why Golden State was so efficient is because of the offense in which they ran. They ran a continuity system where the ball didn't just stick
and
to one
person. And these
dudes
aren't official? Official.
But they don't run a continuity system.
26 assists on 43 made field goals is a pretty damn good assist percentage.
You know, who's ahead of the Snake?
Yeah, James Harden.
Okay, James Harden is the one person that makes everybody else on this team better.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Usually there is.
I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with that. I'm saying there's a different continuity system they had in Golden State. And I'm just trying to tell you all, for Brooklyn, if you're able to take James Harden out of the equation, they become a very one-dimensional team, an ISO-scoring team.
If you took out Steph Curry out of Golden State, don't you become an ISO team with KD?
Yeah, I mean, you had
KD was an ISO at times for Golden State.
Let's continue that game we're playing, which is basically like, you know, playoff poach, mm-hmm. right? Let's call it that, where you're basically the team you eliminate, you're allowed by a compensatory first round pick to take a player off the team you eliminated and then advance into the playoffs with that player now on your roster. So if you're the Nets, you just beat the Celtics, do you take somebody with you? And who would it be?
Yeah, I mean,
who makes you better if you add this piece? Because they look pretty complete, but you can always use more talent.
I don't think I would want to give up a pick. I mean, it's Jason. I would
Tatum.
It would be Jason Tatum.
Yeah, it'd be Tatum.
Another scorer.
But it's like another scorer. Do you need another scorer?
But my pick gonna be low.
Would you wait till Marcus Smart
could be a good pickup?
Yeah,
for
yeah, give him a little more grit. But would you wait until maybe the second round? And if you do end up beating the Bucks, then it's worth it to you to
take a guy like Giannis,
right? Or Drew. Or
but you don't need Drew.
Chris Middleton.
Middleton gives you another space. If you don't need Tatum, you don't need Drew.
Alan Yates got in my ear, and he brings up a good point. Can I get Jaylen Brown?
Would he be back? Is he? I think he's out. I don't think he's returning. Yeah, but
I'm asking, he's
out for the season, okay. So I don't think he's available to you. But you know, all interesting stuff here. But I think it's pretty obvious when the Suns finish the job on the Lakers, they would take LeBron James. LeBron James, though, off that loss last night, and again, down
like
30 at the half.
Why'd you smile like
I'm not smiling.
There was somewhat of a smile.
No, it was just a tick.
Let it out.
115-85 was the loss last night for the Lakers. And LeBron James didn't mince words when he discussed the loss.
I don't know. I mean, we got our ass kicked. I mean, it's just that simple. They got to whatever they wanted to get to in this game. And, you know, we got to be better, obviously, if we want to force a game seven. So, obviously, a lot to learn from in this game, a lot to cover. See, you know, what we got to do better going into game six. But, I mean, they pretty much just kicked our asses. I mean, it's nothing else really to say.
Alan Hahn, take your host hat off, always directing traffic. Can you tell me how you really feel about his comments and about the way he played last night? Because you did have a little smile on your face, and I'm curious. Because I've heard you and I talk how you see it. I'm curious if you will let that out.
Oh, when we win, it's on me. When we lose, it's on you. That's been his MO of his whole career. I mean, that's always been
y'all
LeBron.
Reaching, man. Stop reaching.
That's not a
First
reach.
Off, don't say y'all. I asked Alan Hahn.
It's also.
No, when I say y'all, I'm talking about the LeBron haters.
Oh, okay.
I'm not talking about you.
I'm not a LeBron. Okay. See, again, for
but
the
he's
record,
not a hater.
I've never been a LeBron hater, ever.
Well, I'm okay. So
I've always admired his game. I've admired his durability. And the off the court stuff goes without saying. But as a player, he's an incredible player to watch. But it is always been his thing that when his team loses, he tends to look around him going, you know, we all need to be better.
Well, see, I didn't take what he said as everybody else and not me. I didn't take that at all. He said we got our blanks kicked.
Yep. It's true. He did say we. That's right. But
that's not pointing the finger at my teammates.
Yes, you're right. And I didn't think he had a bad game to begin. I just think he's definitely not playing at the motor, at the gear.
Well, he is a little banged up. And there's something with professional athletes, at least this is what I believe. When you are relying on others to do their job at a maximum level because you're missing somebody and they don't do it at a maximum level, it sucks the air out of you. Because there's only so much night in and night out, or week in and week out, that you can do carrying a team. I've seen it with great players throughout watching sports. There's only so much you can do. And at some point, you become, you know, kind of just...
It drains your enthusiasm?
It drains your enthusiasm at some point. It's nothing is going right in a particular game. And it's okay to have a stinker when you're great. It's okay to have one of those where it's just like, no matter what shot I'm, damn. You can tell in the first half, LeBron James, I don't want to say it's probably the beginning, I mean, mid first quarter, maybe it was early second quarter. He drained a three from, I don't know, 30 feet out. The moment that, and he drained it, went in, as soon as he got the ball again, he said, and he shot it with like 15 seconds left on the clock. And it just, boom, right out of bounds. That told me right then and there, he feels he's got to carry this team right now. He didn't even give it an opportunity.
I got to get hot right now.
I got to get hot.
Well, they were also a 16-0 run, had that game already on the break.
That was a lot, though.
He had 7 points at the half. He had 7 points at the half. Him and Dennis Schroeder had 7 points. I mean, Dennis Schroeder's a whole other conversation.
Yeah, there's a little issue going
on
there, right?
A guy that's going to get $80-plus million to have 0 points in a critical game five, come on. I mean, that needs to be called out in a big-time way. I think the thing that you were looking for from LeBron last night, especially initially he came out, he got a lot of passes going. The Lakers have never been able to, they haven't been a great three-point shooting team. It's always been one of their questions, right? I think you want to just see him be super aggressive. Like, I wouldn't have mind last night seeing LeBron James have 30-plus shots.
But every time that he tried to go to the cup, it seemed like to me they collapsed on him, collapsing down, made him give up the ball. So I would put that on Phoenix's defense. Mm-mm. That said to me, somebody else is going to have to beat us.
But see, Key, like last night was one of those games that I wanted to see LeBron James force the issue.
He tried to. Remember the one he tried to
I know, but like,
call?
But like, do you
remember that one?
Alan, do you understand what I'm saying? There's something about, you know, in these type of moments, and maybe he'll do this in game six. Like, as a basketball player, yeah, I'm going to see double teams. I'm going to see triple teams. Doesn't matter. This thing's going up. Because, and I saw it with Dame last night. You don't think they were double teaming Dame? You don't think they were trying to triple team Dame at times? Like, where, hey, the paint's
collapsed. The game is different, though. The game for Dame the game and LeBron is different.
I understand the game is different.
If they triple team, Dame Lillard, he could pull it up from 30 feet and hit the bottom of the net on a consistent basis, where that doesn't work for LeBron. You, like I said, the one play where LeBron bullied all the way down underneath the rim, and he literally walked 4 or 5 steps to get underneath the rim, and then the ball came out. Mm-hmm. You remember that? Mm-hmm. And I was sitting there going, oh, but my see, God, but they see, didn't call traveling?
Yeah, yeah.
But see, what happens right now is, and I understand that the game would say, hey, it's difficult for LeBron because he doesn't have the same game as Dame. But it feels like what we're doing is saying, well, you know, LeBron had his ankle, and, you know, they were double-teaming him. I just would like to have seen LeBron way more aggressive last night. That's all. Like, and I watched the game. I studied LeBron all the time.
I'm with
you. I hear what Key's saying.
What Key said's really interesting.
Don't agree with me. You're a Knicks fan.
I didn't say I agree with you. I said it was interesting, which is nice. It's
what was interesting?
The fact that your enthusiasm can kind of be squelched when you look around you and reality starts to set in, and you're like,
it's like, man.
Yeah, no, this guy's hurt, and this guy's not what I thought he was.
Oh, by the way, I said yesterday Space Jam 3, and people are like, oh, it's so disrespectful. I'm like, okay.
No. You were right.
No, explain it to me because you got a break. You didn't tell me during a break.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, and for those maybe that weren't listening yesterday.
I just said that. You know, it was one of my 5 things, takeaways. I was like, oh, it's Space Jam 3. Like, LeBron James.
Superhuman.
It has to be superhuman.
Oh, got it.
Has to be like.
He said he's got to lead
Daffy
like,
Duck and Tasmanian Devil. And it's not disrespect, but look at look what happened last night.
Lola Bunny.
That's a Looney Tunes. Like, you got to be superhuman.
But I'm 45 years old. I can't do that right now. 45.
Keyshawn J. Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. So has one team gone from the laughing stock of the NFL to the most talented team on paper? We'll discuss that after Jay has this from Straight Talk.
It's time for some Straight Talk. Sure, saving money feels good, right? But cutting your wireless bill in half, that feels really good. Like walk-off home run in the 9th inning kind of good. Okay, maybe not that good, but you get what I'm talking about. Pretty darn good. With Straight Talk, you can get 25 gigs of high-speed data for $45 a month, up to 50% less than the other guys, plus no contract, all on America's best networks. Why pay a whole lot when you can pay half? Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise.
Who is your favorite to win the AFC North after what transpired in the NFL draft?
Yeah, speaking of balance, the Cleveland Browns. I can't believe I'm saying it, but it is.
Baker, he has to be better.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Jason.
All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Alan Hahn in for Zubin. 888-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. What player would you poach off of a team that you would eliminate in the playoffs in the NBA playoffs. You could do that. We've come up with a lot of different scenarios, yeah. So we'll grab calls on that. But this is an interesting point that Marcus Spears made on NFL Live. It's a good show, NFL Live. Key, you ever see it?
When are you on that show?
I don't really
Key?
Watch it. When are much, you on that show? To be honest with you, but I hear it's a great show.
He's on Thursdays.
Oh, Thursdays.
Yeah.
Well,
what time?
I'm on when
what
they
time did
schedule
they tape?
Me.
What time did they tape?
It's very late.
We don't tape. It's live.
It's live.
That's why it's called NFL Live.
Live. But it's okay. Afternoon.
What time?
Was it 4?
Yeah, 4.
Yeah, usually when I'm in the gym.
It's an hour.
I catch you
right?
in the gym.
Why? What's the problem?
No, nothing.
What are you talking about?
You just tell
NFL
me I
Live?
Will manage.
First of all,
he can no comeback.
Well, you got nothing. No,
because I don't want a
3-day weekend. You still need a day.
No, I'm not going to sit up and argue. I'm not going to sit up and argue with a dude that.
You're not going to build this narrative. I don't work,
no,
bro.
Seven
days a week,
one.
2 weeks.
You work,
months,
Jay.
2 months.
Yes.
Every day. One
yes.
day a week,
you
4
do
o'clock
you,
to 5
you,
o'clock
you
on
a,
Thursdays.
You do a terrific job Thank with you, Maria Keisha. And Thank Jalen you. Rose on NBA Countdown Thank on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays on Thank ABC you. And on ESPN.
Thank you.
I do tune in to watch. You do a terrific job. That still doesn't mean. No, I don't even want to go into your schedule because.
What is my schedule?
Well, you get off late at night, and you have a radio show, television show on Monday morning that you decide to not do or do from home.
I do
when
from home.
When you're already here. Mm. Just sleep I like just the coaches do. Sleep on the couch in the
we
office.
We got a couch in the green
like
room.
Yes,
comfortable.
No,
absolutely.
No, I have a 6-week-year-old at home.
FaceTime.
Even more reason.
FaceTime my kid.
And you
FaceTime
have
my 6-week-year-old.
And you got two
I don't
nannies.
Have two nannies. What are you talking about? Don't put me in your boat. I wasn't,
two,
I wasn't in the Hamptons at Gurney's.
Nannies.
Oh,
having
no,
supper over the weekend.
Out there.
Two
oh, you're grinding.
Nannies.
So,
two nannies.
Is NFL Live?
Been to my house and two nannies.
Do you not have two nannies?
No, I do not.
You
have
one
nanny.
Nanny and
no,
you're
I do not have one nanny.
Second.
I do not have one nanny. I don't even have one nanny.
Well, we're on Indeed.com
because
right now
quit.
Trying to find the.
I know
other
the real. And you're interviewing him. Your wife has told us.
So, anyways, this was on NFL Live. Key was not on this episode, right, of NFL Live, right?
It's only on Thursdays.
Believe. I
no,
don't believe
I'm
you were
in Thursday, but I was not on.
You
this
were not on for this yeah. one, right? So take a listen.
Yeah,
to
he would have went at Swagoo on this one.
Yeah, take a listen to Marcus Spears, Swagoo, when talking about a team that he thinks has the best roster in the AFC, but it's not in Kansas City.
I got them as dark horse Super Bowl contenders, and we're talking about the Chiefs potentially going 20-0 on paper right now in the NFL. On the AFC side, the Cleveland Browns have the best roster. Quote me.
Quote me. Cleveland Browns have the best roster. Quote me. Do you think he is wrong? If you top to bottom, when you look at it, AFC.
It's talented.
You got to include the defense, special teams. He might not be wrong. Doesn't mean they're going to win it all, but they do have a really strong roster.
I'm not as dialed into the NFL as Marcus Spears. I don't know rosters from top to bottom and kickers and punters and backups and
I can,
who play
I can,
and all
I can
those
tell
other
you
things.
If you want. Cody Parker, very good.
But if I go player for player and I do it that way, it's close. But I cannot take out a head coach from being on the roster. I get it. I understand what
Fair.
People – I understand – what people saw. Cleveland gave Kansas City a little bit of a run for its money. But let's be honest
Without
with
Odell.
Ourselves. But let's be honest with ourselves. Patrick Mahomes wasn't 100%, and he left the game. So let's not get all cutesy-cutesy with that. He left the game. And I understand Cleveland made some offseason moves. They went and got Troy Hill from the Rams and John Johnson from the Rams, and they bring in Clowney, and they expect to get Greedy Williams back, and they drafted the Newsome kid. I get it. And they got Odell coming back off injury, and they are a sexy pick. There's no question about it. But this dark horse Super Bowl, let's just slow it down.
Okay, you know, we
because there's a team in Buffalo.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's fair.
There's a team in Buffalo.
And
they got a pretty damn good roster that Brandon Bean put together. Baltimore,
they add Julio Jones.
You know,
if they add Julio Jones.
I don't know that. I don't know. It helps them, but I don't know that Julio Jones is a – Baltimore is a Julio Jones away from going to the Super Bowl.
Really?
I don't know that. It helps them, but I don't know that.
Okay.
So you think about them. Who else is left in the AFC?
It's those three.
Denver's pretty talented. They got a pretty talented roster too, except their quarterback position is.
Where do you put the Patriots in this conversation with everything that they did, all the money they spent, and the guys that are coming back off of opting out last year?
I believe that the Patriots are going to shock a lot of people in terms of the negativity that you hear based on the quarterback that is going to be the starter and not the starter that people want to see. I think that's going to be the shocker. When you start diving into the Cam Newton didn't play with anybody, now all of a sudden, if everything they did and Cam Newton looks like he looked last year, he should retire. Listen to me, what I just said.
I heard it.
Everything they did, and if Cam Newton looks like he looked last year in the second half of the season, Cam, you should retire, dog. Coming from me, your homie, you should just retire because that means you ain't worth a damn. That's what it literally
means. Everything
that
we hear coming out of New England is that they are trying, and I know you're going to cringe at this, but it is true because it's what they're saying. I'm not even saying this to needle you about it.
Oh, I
is that they are trying to get Mac Jones ready to compete for that starting position.
That's their effort.
That's their focus.
As they should.
Not, we're going to bring him along slowly. Cam's our guy. No, this is, we think this guy can compete with that guy to be our QB1 in week one.
We'll see how that works out in the end.
Yeah, we certainly will.
You want competition. You don't want Cam Newton and nobody else, for that matter, Jay, to feel like, it's a cakewalk. I'm good. I'm just not going to do what I need to do. Okay. Everybody needs to compete. The jobs are not free.
You got me with my eye on New England watching them. But it's safe to say that the cream of the crop would be Buffalo, it would be Cleveland, and it would be KC, correct? Those would be the cream of the crop in the AFC.
You know, what's really going to be interesting, too.
Baltimore will be there, right?
But a lot of Chargers? People, I was about to say, that's what I said. What's going to be interesting is a lot of people are kind of quietly pushing, it's almost called them San Diego. almost pushing the Chargers to the side as if.
Another team in on Julio
Jones, by
the way.
They lost a lot of games close.
Yep.
A lot of games close. A lot of
early on they did, too.
And so when you think about Justin Herbert starting in his second year, although it'll be a little bit of a different offense, a philosophy, he still has 16 games under his belt, which goes a long way.
I hear you guys. But still, talent-wise, Buffalo, KC, Cleveland, right?
If you're putting your money down, your chips are going in those buckets.
But the Chargers got a lot of talent,
I hear
man.
You. Okay.
They got the receivers. They got the receivers. They got a nice little back. Their quarterback is young and good. If Bosa could come to the party on the defensive side and Ingram, and then what's the safety on the back end from Florida State? I can't think of his name off the top of my head.
I can't either.
Marcus Spears. I told you he had better mindset on the roster than me.
If only Spragoo was here, we could ask him.
But when you think about this.
Okay, well, this is the first time I've heard the Chargers name pop up like that.
It's sneaky.
You're bringing
it's sneaky
that.
Quiet.
Okay, I'm down with that.
Sneaky quiet.
Okay.
Now with all that.
Can I just finish my point?
I
just wanted to say it's interesting, though, when you go back to Cleveland, because we talk about Patrick Mahomes being hurt in that game.
I want to be real with it.
Provide context,
though.
Right?
Yeah, context to be real
we
with it.
We play that game with Cleveland, but we don't play that game with Tampa Bay, right? We don't say.
No, people, I do.
Insiders
I say,
do.
I
insiders
do.
Do.
I say the
insiders
offensive
do,
line.
Well, you know, their offensive line was depleted and all this other stuff. But for everybody else, it's like, they're one of the favorites to come back and win it again next year. It's funny how we make it applicable for certain things and other things we don't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, but still, Chad Henne did beat the Browns. Like, think of it that way, right? Like, it's still – that's who beat the Browns.
He made
so how
incredible
good,
play.
How good are the Browns?
He kind of –
It was a moment.
Yeah, I mean,
it was a moment.
He finished the deal, man. Tongue in cheek. But the Browns, look, they could very well finish the deal and have home field advantage, even though one team gets home field advantage throughout the playoffs because of the bye that was changed a year ago. They very well could be that team. I just don't know – that, you know, when I start to look at it, nobody on Cleveland's receiving core is better than Tyreek Hill. So I look at stuff like that. Nobody that tied in is not Kelsey. I look at that. But then I look at the flip side. They don't have the running game, Kansas City. Mm-hmm. I mean, Cleveland has a better running game than Kansas City. But then I look at the quarterback. Patrick Mahomes is better than Baker Mayfield. So I start putting all of these things together. And then when I look at the coaching side, I don't know that Kevin Stefanski is quite there where Andy Reid is in Eric Bieniemy. So we'll see. We'll see. And they got better on the offensive line. See, I think that is the key. Trading for Orlando Brown was that's what won the draft for me.
Yeah.
That won the draft.
Yeah.
You know, they gave up those picks to get a guy that they needed that can play.
Right. And obviously also shoring up the interior of that line was so important as well.
And they also took care of business at the center position. I mean, it just all I don't know. That's why early on I said Kansas City can go undefeated and people looked at me like I got frogs on my face. And now all of a sudden
Mahomes saying it.
Everybody else is saying it, including the quarterback.
Saying he wants to.
Well, he heard me say they are going to do it. He didn't want to say they are going to do it. He wanted to say he would love to do it at some point in time.
Patrick, appreciate you always listening to the show. It was great that you heard Keyshawn say that. And, again,
we start off the morning. Everybody listens to us.
Yeah, that certainly is true. All right, coming up, why even Green Bay fans might think it's time for Aaron Rodgers to go pack. That's after SportsCenter.
Dame takes it across the timeline, defended by Shaq Harrison. Crosses over, spins around, steps back, fades for three. Got it! Ties it! 50 for Damian Lillard with 6.4 left in the overtime.
That was the call on Rip City Radio. Damian Lillard just had a night. 55 points, double nickels, but the Trailblazers ended up losing in double overtime to the Denver Nuggets in Game 5. And that, of course, now puts the Nuggets up in the series 3-2. Lillard, however, third most points in the loss in NBA postseason history. Only Michael Jordan, who had 63 in 1986 against the Celtics. Remember Larry Bird called that. I said that's God disguised as Michael Jordan. And Donovan Mitchell, last year in the bubble, went for 57 also against Denver. They're the only two to score more in a postseason game in a loss. The Lakers were blown out by the Suns in their Game 5, 115-85. They were down 30 at the half, no AD in this game.
Pre-season,
and now
man,
the Lake Show, one loss from elimination as the Suns take a 3-2 series lead. Devin Booker went for 30. LeBron, by the way, has never lost a first-round series in his career. 14-0 series record entering this season. To baseball, Fernando Tatis Jr. exited Tuesday's loss to the Cubs in the middle of the sixth inning with tightness around his midsection. Remember, he's missed time already this season twice. First, suffering a subluxation of his left shoulder. That was April 5th. And then later tested positive for COVID-19 on May 10th. SportsCenter brought to you by Mako. With Mako and their magic, your car is no longer tragic. If life throws you uh-ohs, just say, better get Mako. And head to Mako.com and get an online estimate today. You didn't know I had bars, did you?
With my situation, it's never been about the draft pick. I love the coaching staff.
Love you, brother.
Love my teammates. Love the fan base in Green Bay. Incredible 16 years.
The Lombardi Trophy is going back home.
A lot of this was put in motion last year, and the wrench was just kind of thrown into it when I won MVP.
Is he the MVP
or
what? It's just kind of about a philosophy. It's about character. It's about culture. It's about doing things the right way. The people make an organization, and sometimes that gets forgotten.
Now, with the music, too, the dramatic music with it, and the way he says it in his soft voice and everything like that, it's just, like, it's so, you get caught up in it.
There's nothing that seems
like, you're right, Aaron, you're right. It is about the people.
He doesn't, he seems so calm in his delivery on everything. Like, you know, most people, when you spend that amount of time somewhere and there's that much on the line, you get emotional.
It's a bit of emotional.
It doesn't seem that, it seems like he's emotionless to a degree, right?
You think it's almost like let go?
It kind of feels like he's already gone.
It's amazing, and maybe also the fan base there might be ready to move on too, which is hard to believe. Getting wistful here right now. Let's bring in Jeff Saturday, ESPN NFL analyst, joining us on the Goodyear Hotline. Good morning, Jeff. I we're getting a little emotional about Aaron Rodgers and potentially this departure apparently this morning. But I want you to listen to something that Rob Domofsky said, who covers the Packers for us at ESPN, about not just we're hearing Aaron Rodgers, as you heard Jay say, it seems like he's kind of detached, emotionally detached. Listen to what Rob says about even the passionate fan base in Green Bay and how they feel about Aaron Rodgers.
I'm not sure the sentiment right now is all that pro-Rodgers in the sense that Rodgers doesn't want to be here. And people, I don't care what team you root for, but it's especially this way in Green Bay because it's such a small town. If you don't want to be here, people don't want you here. Like that is, it's a very provincial place. If Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to be here, he all of a sudden goes from one of them to one of the others.
So, Jeff, your thoughts on that? I mean, it just does feel like a divorce that's leading to an inevitable breakup or the departure here.
Yeah, be careful what you wish. Because if you have any hope in winning the Super Bowl this year, you want Aaron Rodgers on your football team. Listen, don't buy the hype of what the team's selling is. I will be fine with Jordan Love, or we can do it this way, or, you know, whatever your buddy's telling you at the water cooler when you're going fishing in Green Bay, whatever that looks like. Aaron Rodgers is the way to a Super Bowl in Green Bay this season. So, you know, make no mistake about whether he's emotionless on the phone call or, I mean, on the interview or where he gets to. When the motion hits, it'll be about preseason time, right? Like right now, we're in June. Ain't nobody sweating it. He's been in the league almost 17 years. Like, this guy's like, man, he don't want to go to mini camp. He gets it. He can play these games until it gets competitive. And it gets competitive in August. And he wants to play. He won the MVP last year. He showed everybody. They drafted a first-round pick. I put the team in its place. Watch what we're going to do now. He knows this is the best opportunity he has to win the Super Bowl. You go somewhere in July, you're telling me you can build a team, build a roster that fast? It's going to be very difficult. So he understands it. They understand it. Everybody needs to put their pride down, get this thing done, and let's go win if you're a Green Bay Packer.
Jeff, you said something interesting to me. You said he wants to play. That is true. He wants to play. We all want to play football. But does he want to play in Green Bay would be my question to you.
Yeah, listen, I think right now if he had his druthers, he wouldn't be in Green Bay. But we, you and I both know you don't just get that because that's what you want. And as frustrated as you are with the way they've handled it and the way as an organization they handled it, he also understands where we are in the seasonal progression, right, Key? Like, you and I know as you go through, if you're going to get traded to another team, that's a February, March thing, right? So we can go build and put guys together. I can work with you. I can go do what Tom Brady did in Tampa Bay last year, right? Take a bunch of vets somewhere and let's go throw around and let's get used to each other. What you don't want to happen is to get dumped on a team late in the preseason kind of ramp up and be expected to produce as you have in Green Bay. Because like it or not, you know the system LaFleur runs. You're becoming more and more comfortable with it. They have one of the best, if not the best, offensive lines in the NFL, so you know you're going to be protected. So there's a lot of positives where when you go somewhere else, you're not exactly sure what that roster or that, quote, culture that he's talking about really is yet and how much of an impact can you make in a month. So whether he wants to be in Green Bay or not, that's the best place for him, and you and I both know that.
Jeff, Marcus Spears says the Browns have the best roster in the AFC. Do you agree with that?
No, I don't agree with that. I mean, Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, are you serious, bro? Like, I think everybody forgets because they had a bad game against the Buccaneers and their offensive line was decimated and they got outplayed and their offense looked anemic and all the things that we talked about after the Super Bowl. We forget how good that football team is, man. That's a good football team. By the way, Chad Henne beat them in the playoffs, right? Like, so from roster, and here's the other thing. Let me just say this about rosters, right? The best, quote, roster isn't the best team. Like it's what team is going to be the best team. How are we going to win? I heard Key say it, and he made a great point and probably the best point I've heard. Coaching matters in this, right? So it's not just the players on the field. It's how can the coaches get the most out of those guys? Because a guy's really talented at one spot doesn't mean he's going to play that way each and every week. And when you put it all together, what does it look like? I can tell you on the Colts, we weren't necessarily always, quote, the best roster, but we won a whole bunch of games. So from a roster perspective, I get it. We're going to go through and we're going to rank, hey, where does this guy rank at guard and where does this guy rank? But ultimately, when you put the teams on the field, I don't see how you get away from the Chiefs. And I do like the Browns roster. Listen, Andrew Berry, who was with me when I was at the Colts, I have a ton of respect for what he's done in Cleveland. I'm not dismissing that. I'm just saying you're putting kind of the cart before the horse when we're saying, hey, this what does that mean? You know, I'm okay, so you like what they've done in the offseason. We don't hand out trophies for the offseason. We hand it out once you start, you know, once you start hitting and pads start popping.
Jeff, speaking of the Chiefs, what do you think about Patrick Mahomes saying he wants to go 20-0?
I love it. Man, who don't want to go undefeated? By the way, we've had one team who's done it in the history of our game, and they pop champagne every time, you know, the undefeated team. And as a guy who's gone 14 and pulled my team, you know, pulled the guys at halftime and we end up losing, it's going undefeated is a big deal. And I understand that the ultimate goal is to win the Super Bowls and all that kind of stuff. I'm not saying, but being undefeated and going undefeated, there's something about that that is special. And one of the most difficult things I ever went through as a player is when we didn't go for being undefeated. And Bill Polian had his reasons. We made it to the Super Bowl. I'm not saying, you know, it's a different job for a GM from a player. But from a player's perspective, I want to go undefeated. I want to win them all, and I want to show everybody we're the best to have ever done it. So I don't blame Patrick Mahomes even a little bit for saying that.
Jeff, how did you feel about that? Because as a Jets fan, of course, I was quite happy about that donation to the playoff appearance for the Jets. Now, you know, of course, you did pay us back a couple of games later, but how did you feel about that as a player, when you reach that point of a season and you get that close and the decision is, guys, this is better for, you know, us, you know, you guys have maybe had load management before load management was a thing in the NBA. Like, but as a player, how'd you feel about that, though?
Devastated, man. Well, one of the most painful things that I dealt with in my career, because we were so close and I did believe we were that good, right? And I had seen New England a few years before make a run, and then obviously they lost in the Super Bowl to the Giants, but you know, they at least gave themselves an opportunity to get there. I was devastated that we didn't at least try to go get it. I mean, from a player's perspective, when you know your team, and by the way, we're beating the Jets. And like you said, we helped all the Jets fans and Tannenbaum, right? Like Mike T's living good now because of that, right? Like it's all good. But from a player perspective, man, it was difficult. And again, one of the things that I thought was a very painful thing in my career to have it right there and feel like you let it walk out. If I get beat, I get it, man, but if I just hand it away, that's a tough thing to deal with.
Every time you see Rex, every time you see Mike T, Bart Scott, anybody, you're welcome. And by the way, we'll say thank you, Jeff, as always.
All right,
enjoy the rest of your day.
Appreciate you, fellas.
All right, Jeff Saturday on the Goodyear Hotline, brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Keyshawn J. Will Zubin, brought to you by attorneys Cordell and Cordell. Fair divorce for men, call 1-866-DADS-LAW. Why do you look at me?
I didn't even say anything.
Jay, like, how could it ever be fair?
He looks at me. That's
like divorce and fair.
Coming up more on KJZ. Next, on your smart speakers, all you got to do is say, play ESPN Radio. It's that easy.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
Let's take Stump in New York real quick. Stump.
This is one of the best shows in the history of television.
Thank you.
So, you know, you got KB.
Y'all hear that out there, bosses?
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Good morning from New York City. Keyshawn J. Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guys join us on the Goodyear Hotline. By the way, I'm noticing you got a little Disney action going on with your shirt today. The Disney, the Mickey gloves.
Yeah.
It's a Mickey. Pride shirt. It's Pride Month.
Yes, it is.
Right that now, is the month of June.
No, I'm not wearing the shirt, Alan, because I've decided to come out. No, that's not the case. I'm wearing,
I thought we'd have some breaking news today. When you walked in with this shirt, I'm like, maybe today's the day.
No,
maybe today's the day.
Today is not the day. It is not breaking news. That is not the case. But it is supporting news is what it is. And when I saw the shirt, I said, oh, I gotta not only be a company guy, I also am a supportive guy. And so for me, it means a lot when I think about it, you know, because I had a daughter who passed away recently, 25 mm-hmm. years old, who's part of the LGBT community. And so I'm like, you know, why not? I've been obviously supportive for a very long time, ever since, you know, she came to me and said to herself, hey, Dad, I like girls.
This is who I am.
I'm like, okay, cool. She, you know how it goes, man. They all get nervous and they don't really know how the family's going to react to them. I'm like, I'm checking her out the whole way anyway. You know what I'm saying? Because even some of the dudes early on in her life that she was dating, I'm like, nah, that ain't. I could just tell that wasn't good. That wasn't going nowhere. Mm-hmm. You know, that wasn't going nowhere at all. But
so you
then,
tend to always have a feeling you're waiting for her to tell you. Is that what that was for you?
Yeah, but my family as a whole, like my kids and stuff, they're much like me. They're going to tell you. They're not going to hide anything. Mm-hmm. And so when she finally came to me and said, I was, okay, cool. No,
wouldn't you say that first reaction, especially from father, from parents, is probably the most important for anyone? How old was she?
She was 12, but you can see the signs. Yeah, you can see the signs coming. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, as growing up in South Central LA, being around or seeing gay people was different. It was weird. I'm young. So everything was always, that's a bad thing. Like, oh, because you're young, you don't know.
You're not used to it. So for you, it's not your normal.
No, it totally wasn't my normal at that age.
Yeah.
You know,
we also grew up a little different to what we saw also on TV is much different than now, which is there's a lot more acceptance than there used to be.
Not even acceptance of now. Acceptance was a while ago, but it's taken a long time to even get to this point with a lot of growth to still come. Mm-hmm. And so growing up at a young age, you really didn't have a full grasp and an understanding. It was, again, it was taboo. It was it was the guy at the liquor store who owns the liquor store who's gay. Don't go in that liquor store because he might try to grab you. That's the sort of naivety that was given to you as a kid. And so you didn't know. But as I learned, as I got older, you just learn and you learn about it. And it's like, oh, okay, I get it. Where some of my best friends in life, in fact, LZ Grandison, who worked with me in Los Angeles, will be joining us tomorrow at some point doing the show. You just learn, man. And over time, and like my daughter, but my niece, Paris, who's my sister's daughter, is also a part of the community. And it was very rough for her early on. And she actually came to me. And I'm like, I love you. It's not a problem. And so she fought through that all the time because a lot of times people alienate you and your own family and friends. They don't want to be associated with you. They think it's like weird. And at some point in time, you've always hoped that people would get over that and that wouldn't be an issue. So I'm going to always love my daughter to death. I got her tattoo here. I'm getting a rainbow tattoo on me.
I love the tattoo of her.
At some point in time. Yeah. So it's kind of like, you know, I get it. I understand it. And even in sports, I'm often asked if we had gay athletes in the locker room, how would I feel? I'm like, man, I don't give a damn. Can he play? That's all I care about, right?
And we've always said this about sports.
Can this dude play? Right, right. Like, can he help me win a football game? If he can help me win a football game, great. And if he can't, they're going to cut him regardless.
Right, but that's the great unifier. And that's the one thing about sports, why I always tell people, I stress it all the time, like get your kids involved in sports in some way. They don't have to end up professionals. They don't have to end up playing, you know, Division I. The experience of having teammates from many different walks of life is such a great education.
Dude, if
because,
I told you.
Like you said, we're playing to win. It doesn't matter if we have differences, if you're different than me. I don't care because we all have one common goal, which is to
don't
win
care.
This damn game.
Don't care. And trust me, I've had teammates
and
that
I've
played
with. And you
are
more alike than you really knew.
I've had teammates that I played with that were gay. I don't care. It ain't my business. Can you help me win? And I like you and your husband. I don't care. I don't care. Man, one of the greatest experiences I ever had, I was on vacation. And there was two guys out of nowhere. They were there on their honeymoon. I enjoyed my vacation because literally me and my wife hung out with them the entire time. We just hung out with them and enjoyed, and they knew
seeing
sports
people.
And we talked sports. It was crazy.
Yeah.
No, and you just learn just as you get older, man, this is real life.
Yeah. Well,
so Pride Month is extremely important to me.
That's a great conversation to have. And the San Francisco Giants were the first Major League Baseball team to play in Pride uniforms when they take the field Saturday against Chicago Cubs. The team's on-field caps have the SF logo with colors depicting the Progress Pride flag. Each jersey have a patch on the right sleeve featuring the design. Coming up, Jay tells you why the best.